Hey! Oh my god, you're back! This is fantastic. I'm Claire Bottomley and I'm your host, and this certainly is the Recruiting Superhero. Yep, you're excited, I'm excited. And if you can't wait anymore, go ahead, listen, and let me know what you think. In this episode, I catch up with Matthew Wall, VP of Business Development for the Wall Group, a recruitment company based in Toronto, Canada, with specific recruiting expertise into the aerospace industry. Matthew talks about how best a company can secure their best hires moving forward, including giving some great tips on how to rethink your unused office space and how to reinvest in your candidates. Plus, how candidates really shouldn't sell themselves short and should focus on how to be in the driving seat when on interviews. Also, if you really like the show, don't forget to follow and share. Your support really helps. So on the show today, we've got Matthew. Hello, how are you?
Hi, Claire. I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me today.
Oh, exciting. So where are you calling from? Where are you on from?
Well, I'm in Toronto, Canada.
Nice.
So a little international flavor for you today, I hope.
Oh, I love it. Love a Friday international flavor. Very nice. And are you going to excite me with your weather there? Because I look outside my window and it's raining. What does yours look like?
It's sunnier here, I guess. This morning I was outside already. So I can say that I'm balancing my work and my life pretty well. We're finally in that transition in Canada. You know, we have two seasons here. It's usually winter and construction. So any sun here is good news for us.
Oh, nice. And how's it going in terms of lockdown? All good? You know, just normal?
Yeah, they're as good as they can be. Things are progressing. Very fortunate to be in an industry where there's work on both ends. Happy to know that I'm fortunate to be working and that there are many people I can help, you know, get back into work or transition into something new. So there's a lot of good things happening.
Oh, good, good. Now that perfectly leads us into the way of explaining who you are. So I'll leave that to you. Explain to the listeners who you are and, what you do.
Okay. Well, personally, I'm a vice president of business development for a recruiting firm. We're strategic recruiting specialists. We specialize really in anything HR related, mainly in recruitment services, though, specifically in the aerospace industry. We don't hold ourselves down just to aerospace. We specialize in anything transferable to that. So robotics, automation, some pharmaceutical work, anything really in manufacturing and distribution, we try to get our hands on. And any work is good work for us. So anything that is really going to help build the workforce, we're happy to help.
Wonderful, wonderful. And today, that's what we're going to be talking about. All sort of things, recruitment, everything in terms of recruitment with the lockdown and candidates as well, and how best candidates can be within this industry and how companies are reacting and things like that. And it's really good that Matthew is here because he's in a different part of the world. I'm in the UK, he's in Toronto, and we can kind of come together and collaborate and go, hey, what's going on? And it's a really great way to be and engage at the moment. So Matthew, I'm going to start off asking you a couple of questions. Well, maybe not a couple. I've got a few up my sleeve because I really think that you're going to be able to add some real value here to this particular topic, which is, are companies still hiring? My question to you is, are companies, especially I guess in Toronto where you are companies still hiring? And what is the benefit to using agencies or recruiters to help with hiring, especially throughout the lockdown periods and beyond?
So right now, companies are rapidly hiring. Things Wow. have really progressed. You know, as we've moved, obviously country to country, the phase that we might be in right now are different. In Canada, we've moved into phase two, almost phase three in some cases. So most industries are back to work. Obviously, there's a huge health and safety aspect that people are now focusing on. So one of the benefits to using an agency, whether you're the candidate or you're the client, is really the industry expert side of things. So whether you're the candidate, you could utilize us in a consulting manner, Obviously, we have inside scoop onto where jobs are, where companies are in the hiring process. You can use us as resume builders. And we provide a timely execution. That's really the key to where we are right now, is people have come out of this really, you know, big struggle, let's say, of the unknown. They might have lost their job. They might not know if their job will continue to be, you know, necessary in the future. So we're able to navigate through some of those things with candidates specifically. And then, of course, on the client side, you know, we're providing a solution that might not have been available to them pre-COVID. So we're using our database to filter out, obviously, where candidates are looking and, you know, who might be the best fit for a specific role you're hiring for.
Nice. It sounds very similar to us here. I mean, I think in the UK, what I'm certainly trying to do is just keep that relationship strong with current companies, making sure that we're supporting them to the maximum that we can possibly do. Actually, it really does give us a little bit more time to fully engage with candidates and really get those drivers understood and try and build from that and map out, you know, how it's going to look and what we're going to be looking for the future, because skills will change and needs will change as we move forward. And it will be a kind of a month to month basis, I guess, on seeing how we use that data to shift things around. But definitely great insight there.
Yeah.
If companies are not currently using a recruiter, I guess, but thinking about doing it, what would they be best to look for when thinking about hiring outside recruiters, or potentially they're not quite there yet with outside recruiters, but they want to bring in an internal TA team or something like that? What should they be looking for?
So, you know, here, and I'm sure this is a global issue, there was a huge shortage of talent before the crisis. And now that we've sort of opened up the pool to candidates, I would say that any company looking to outsource their recruitment process would be looking for industry experts. That has to be the first thing that you look for.
Okay.
If you are in the process of hiring, you need to know that the person that you are going to outsource that opportunity to knows the industry as well as you, if not better. And that can work no matter what industry you're in. And I'm very, very confident that in what we do, we would be industry experts. And I'm not shy to tell a prospective client that, you know what, we might not be the best person suitable for you. There are many recruiting companies that are much more capable of providing you a better service.
Yeah, I do. I agree with that, actually. Do you, just your viewpoint on sort of talent acquisition, obviously it's a completely different, it's not that we're running against us or anything like that, because I also like to think that I'm supporting a business. I'm not there to try and take everything away from them.
Right.
If a company does decide not to go with an outside recruiter and thinks, right, I'm going to build that TA team, is there kind of like a second step, should you think, before making that decision? Because I know that, you know, often I, maybe the same with you, is that you end up talking to the talent acquisition team. They don't quite know what they're doing or looking for. And then it eventually comes to you anyway. So it's almost as though that person's in the middle for no reason, at an extra cost.
Right. We do experience that quite often. And we're not in the position of taking jobs away from anyone, right?
Yeah.
We're in the business of creating as many jobs as we can. So I think companies can better utilize those people. There's many opportunities to use possibly a TA as well and turn them into maybe an onboarding specialist
and give them
the opportunity to now, you know, just because they didn't source that specific candidate, they can now at least have the opportunity to take the candidate that we provided and onboard them and at least know that the step-by-step case going forward creates a timely opportunity for everyone. You know, we provide a quality reputation. So when people look to us, they can go to any of our clients, for a reference and know that we provide value and typically at a lower cost. You know, a bad hire is going to be much more expensive than any fee you're ever going to pay me.
I totally agree. And what you just said then about an onboarding specialist, I mean, what a great idea. I mean, I don't even know if that's a role, is it? I haven't really heard of it here.
Some of the bigger corporate companies, might have it. They might not title it as such. It would fall under an HR department's responsibility. So I would say that most companies probably are using their HR team to do that job without, you know, maybe paying them accordingly.
Yeah.
But I have seen many companies, you know, go down this road recently. And then there's other positions, of course, they've now, you know, needed to focus on, whether it be health and safety, continuous improvement, things like that, that allow people to come to work the first day and know that they're going to be working in a safe space. But of course they have, you know, even the simple things, emails, logins, you know, a desk to work at, whatever it may be.
Yeah. But for me, that's always been absolutely so important. One of my things is you never really forget good customer service. You never really forget that. You'll always go back to somebody that provided excellent pathway or a journey to you to be able to get to somewhere else. And I've not that I have personally, but I've heard about it, and maybe yourself has heard about it too, that when individuals might be in that in between stage of being offered and otherwise, and there might have been a few things, steps in the particular interview stage where it was a bit long, or they just take ages doing it, and it put them in a slight negative. And sometimes they'll choose another job just purely because that interview process was quite negative. And so onboarding or any interview process or any kind of process where you're bringing talent on should be really looked at and focused on, and potentially an onboarding specialist could be a new role really for a business specifically.
I think it's going to be rather important, especially as we now have to focus on health and safety as probably the priority. And it's not just a shop floor problem anymore. It used to be a factory issue where, you know, health and safety was at the forefront. But now, no matter what office job you do, no matter what restaurant you work in, health and safety is now everyone's priority.
Oh, my God. Absolutely. I know we've spoke about the benefits of working with a recruiter. What if a company decides in the beginning that they completely do it themselves? If they hire the wrong person, how detrimental can it be for the business?
Well, the example I like to use is a company that would need a purchasing manager. So if a company is going out and using a purchasing manager to maybe buy $1 million worth of product, well, if they make a 10% mistake, that $100,000 was way more than you ever would have paid a recruitment firm for the better candidate. So, you know, my solution or my response to any company that would have that question is, your employees are your most valuable asset. Therefore, your biggest expense will be the wrong employee.
Yeah. No, I think that's a fair point. I think it's, once you've taken somebody on, ultimately you're spending money immediately. You're training them. You're investing a lot of time. And if that match wasn't correct in terms of culture, values, salary, if none of the right questions were answered, then it can really be quite detrimental, I think, as you say, and you've just explained there for the business.
A lot of companies, unfortunately, when they start their process within, they rely on what we call a post and pray mentality. So they're posting a job and hoping that the best available candidate is just going to magically show up on their doorstep. And like any friendship or relationship or anything you've ever been in, there's work that goes into it. And that's the value in the recruiter. It's very time consuming. Obviously, not every HR department is working with the same budget, and that's understandable. But that's what the recruitment company, like the one that I would do, already has that database built. And we tell clients sometimes who kind of laugh and say, oh, we just paid you this for 5 minutes of work. And
oh,
I
God,
tell them,
yeah.
No, you paid me this for my 20 years of experience that led to me being able to deliver what you wanted when you asked. And we see that just so many times with companies who rely on, you know, resumes to come in off a database that doesn't necessarily filter what that industry is really looking for.
First of all, quickly, I love that post and pray. What is it?
Post and pray.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. I've not heard of that before. That's quite a... I might steal that.
Yeah, no. take it and run with it. Spread that.
Well,
because I, you know, it's not something that ever offends me when I see it, but I just see that there's so many companies out there that would just value going, you know, with an industry expert for the immediate hire. You get to see companies, whether it's LinkedIn or whatever, post jobs, and you see this job's been up for 30 days. Well, that's 30 days of someone not making you money.
Yeah, no, exactly. I know. And I think, well, I just think that I'm very honest with the clients that I work with. I don't promise. I don't overpromise. I don't say, that's brilliant. I'm going to get you 10 CVs in 48 hours, because that's what you pay for me to say, to be honest, I'm telling you right now, that probably the salary is this or the salary is that, or, you know, this is not out there. Or I go away and I come back with either market data with some real functional data that you can work with and either compromise on some of the aspects of the job, or we change it up completely, or I'll have a CV for you, depending. But I won't be throwing lots of CVs just because they might have a couple of right words in them. Right. Do you agree?
Yeah, no, definitely. We're one of those companies that in the initial introduction, we will tell you right, you know, to your face, we rather send you no one than someone that's going to waste your time or yeah. a bad candidate. We're not in that business. We're only going to succeed if you do. We're building relationships on, yeah. on both sides. We obviously represent candidates, but the client's the one that ultimately is paying us. So if we're not delivering, you're not succeeding, you're not going to, you know, provide us with reputable references and things like that down the road. So a lot of what goes into what we do is a strength in knowing that we're going to only provide you the best service out there.
Yeah. And well, I've actually, and I want listeners to hear this, especially companies, if I'm honest. If any companies think that all recruiters are desperate for the work and desperate to work with clients and desperate for this, and actually, that isn't the case. One of my greatest sort of points that I live by is not all client is a good client. Right. It doesn't mean just because they've given you some business that you know, you've desperately, some clients are really difficult to work with. There's absolutely no compromise. They don't value supporting and collaborating with suppliers. And it's things like that that you should look for when you're a recruiter working with a client. And also companies, think about that. Think about how you want this interaction to be. Do you want it to be a good long-lasting one, or do you want it to be a short? Because that basically will, you know, transfer into the hire that you have. Long-lasting employee or really short-lived right. employee? Yeah, but yes, yeah, it's one of my little things, that my bugbears that I have.
Yeah, no, it's a pet peeve of mine to know that companies aren't prioritizing necessarily the relationship aspect of the hire. A lot of people think they're hiring people to, you know, provide a job and only a job, but there's much more that goes into it. And definitely in a world where more things are prevalent, you see things like mental health becoming, you know, the forefront of what people are interested in when it comes to their work-life balance. It's just really important to know that you're working in unison with everyone. And you can hire an HR team that might be ready to provide that to you, or you can hire a recruitment team that's already been doing this for a long time and just understands what your industry requires. There's just a huge hole that needs to be filled in that respect, where companies have not, you know, looked themselves in the mirror and say, you know what, this is just something that someone else can do better for us.
No, that's right. That's right. I think that also allows me to sort of move quite swiftly over to the next question that I have, which is one of the most significant questions for me that I wanted to get your opinion on, and maybe the listeners too, because they're candidates. There's candidates there that will be looking and thinking, how are companies hiring at the moment? What are they looking for? And there will be companies thinking, do I need to change the way I hire, and things like that. So do you see companies changing how they ultimately make decisions to hire post-lockdown? So I don't know whether it's culturally or money-wise, what sort of things might scale off or balance out with each companies?
So I think there's actually going to be quite a few things that are really going to open the eyes of really any business across the board. There'll be certainly a priority to hire specific roles. So as I mentioned already, health and safety will be at the forefront. So candidates are not going to want to work for a company that has not taken the initiative to provide, you know, masks, hand sanitizer, you know, whether you're at a new business that requires face shields or anything that will, you know, we call them PPEs, protective, you know, equipment. So that's the first thing candidates are going to be looking for, especially in office work. Now, of course, we've now spent all this time possibly at home, you know, with family and things like that. Work-life balance is now the biggest necessity on the market when it comes to personal satisfaction. It is totally blown away salary. Now, there is a huge competitive market. People are going to be able to demand better salary. So, you know, for any of the candidates listening out there, do not settle right now. You are worth way more than people have paid. people have paid you.
I'm going to get people out there asking for all sorts of money.
Yeah, no. And in many cases, they should be. You know, I am a firm believer in capitalism, but, you know, people definitely have an opportunity right now to be paid what they're worth. Competition is strong. You know, you have to understand that people will be, you know, definitely applying for the same role you are. But don't sell yourself short. You know, there is an opportunity for everyone right now, which is nice. Now, the remote work side of things is really going to open the opportunity to companies who had spent so much time in the office to actually probably hire more. And I use the example of having all of your clients come to work. And if you had, let's say, 100, you have 100 people working in your business, and every single person is drinking one or two cups of coffee a day, that's about $200 a day, $1,000 a week, that companies are going to now save just off, you know, Keurig cups. So
didn't think of that. I didn't think of that at all, but that's a very good analogy. So,
you know, with you know, utility bills coming down and all those office expenses coming down, you know, companies will actually be able to, you know, reinvest that money more in people, which is what they probably should have been doing all along. Now, there is going to be a remote conversation versus the office work. What's more important? Who could balance it better? And will candidates actually, in some cases, be willing to take less money to not have to commute to work anymore? Mm. Now that everybody's been home for 3 or 4 months, who wants to drive 45 minutes to work there and then an hour and a half back in rush hour traffic?
Well, actually, I think it's more than that, actually, Matthew, because you've got your hour at least maybe with the commute. I think it's pretty standard that it's an hour commute.
Yeah.
You've got the getting up, getting dressed, getting yourself sorted, rushing everything into that 1 hour. So you've probably got half an hour. Maybe let's do half an hour all in. It's probably more for certain people. But let's say an hour and a half every morning. And then an hour and a half sort of back finishing up and then eventually doing the coming back. That's kind of 3 hours a day that you are gaining back as an individual. Which is a lot.
It turns, you know, a very productive 40-hour work week into maybe a productive 50-hour work week that's actually a lot easier for people to feel that they can do.
Navigate.
But, you know, mentally, it'll be easier on many industries to allow people to have this balance. I think it will create more jobs than take away. There obviously is certain jobs that were hands-on that may never come back, and we obviously feel for those industries. But people with transferable skills will certainly be excelling. And it actually will now create a bigger opportunity for companies to realize, what did their succession plan look like? Because if you had a CEO in an office that was doing everybody's job, they might not be able to be as hands-on anymore. And that succession plan will actually show very quickly about which companies had been proactive. Not that we ever would have expected this to happen, but you have to assume that every 10 years, whether it's a recession or not, that some obstacle is going to come about that shifts the way we work and the way that companies utilize their employees to the best of their capabilities.
So, I mean, if we were to shift it now over to the candidate side and let's try and look at them from their point of view, imagine that some of them are feeling, you know, we've discussed already very briefly, you know, is there any point in me going? There's a bigger pool. Do I have the right skills? I'm scared to go to work. Is the company doing the right thing? What, as a candidate, what sort of advice would you give somebody if they're looking for a company kind of post-lockdown? What should be at the forefront when looking for a new role?
So if you're looking for a new role, you definitely want a company, I've said this a couple of times already, but that's focused on health and safety. You need to know that when you go to work right now, especially over the next couple of months, you know, likely throughout the rest of 2020, that your safety comes first. You know, it's not just, like I said, you know, a factory issue anymore. Companies have to have certain standards that they never considered. And that's going to require, a whole industry of hiring, you know, there will be companies that might have a whole health and safety department now that they had never created. I would never tell anyone to sell themselves short or take something just for the sake of taking it, but there's certainly an opportunity for people to get their foot in the door and work their way up. Mm. And I use a story of a mate from college whose father started in the mailroom at one of the big 5 banks in Canada and ultimately 25 to 30 years later became the CEO. He had no formal education. certainly didn't have formal education in what banking was going to become 30 years later, you know, from the 70s, and ultimately became CEO of one of the big five banks. Of course, that's a unique story, and they feel good, and it gives people optimism, but that happens at all different levels. And not everybody wants to be the CEO. Some people are happy being middle management. Some people are just happy going to work 9 to 5 and coming home and seeing their family. And now we see a whole world where people, you know, and I laugh about this with some of my friends who have children, you know, people never really had to parent as much as they've had to the last 3 months. So you had so many parents, you know, had to balance working from home with their children who are not in school. You know, summer camps are now canceled. What are we going to do to prepare for the summer? Things like that.
Oh, so God, that, yeah, of course.
That drop your kid off at school at 8 a.m., pick them up at, you know, after dinner from, you know, daycare or whatever maybe doesn't exist right now. So people need to know that they're going to be afforded the freedom. And I don't say freedom so that they can work less and play more, but that they don't have to question whether or not they're working hard enough, that they're able to find a business that understands that this is a new world. People need mental breaks. People need to know that you're on their side, that everything is team oriented. There's a huge gap in middle management right now. We're just not prepared to really delegate authority to many of their members, which actually has hurt a lot of talent acquisition specialists, because they'll come source and not have any answers. And some of them are junior, and that's expected. But I try to tell people, you know, you really shouldn't start the hiring process at all until all the I's are dotted and the T's are crosses. I never understood how a final interview could happen and that best candidate you have doesn't have the offer with them out the door. It is so important for the candidate to interview the person interviewing them. If the person that's interviewing you, whether it's the TA, the HR, or a hiring manager, can't answer why they work there, I don't know why you would want to.
Let's stay on candidates then for now and just sort of think. Normally with some of the guests that I have on, I like them to be able to try provide some sort of takeaways or tips to individuals or listeners that they can take away and potentially improve on. I think we could probably give some to company and candidate this side. So in terms of, let's stick with candidates, what sort of takeaway points would you give to candidates that they can focus on now?
Well, right now there's so many things that they can do that don't cost any money. So candidates could definitely use a lot of online resources that will improve their resume. They will improve maybe their LinkedIn, you know, profile. They should be liking, sharing, commenting on things on all social media. Someone like Gary Vee, who most of your interviews probably know, he'll tell you that you need to be commenting or posting 9 times a day. Now, I obviously find that to be slightly excessive for most people, but if you're not, you know, getting involved in the conversation, if you're not, you know, doing things that are very easy to do, like e-learning, listening to podcasts like this one, you know, you're really not taking advantage of things that really don't cost you anything. Now, time is money and things like that, but because we've had the opportunity to have this, you know, last couple of months to reevaluate what's been important and what we can actually do to better our time, candidates should really be asking a lot of questions to people, using their own network if they have one to leverage job opportunities. People have, you know, usually been shy to share their point of view. And as long as you're obviously being politically correct and positive and things like that, you know, you really should be sharing as much as you can with the world. And I think that will ultimately drive people to you. I think people can easily build a brand. Now, we're not looking for Kardashian-level branding, but we're certainly looking for people to show that they will, or that they're showing the drive to become industry experts. And that's why I don't always think that you need the best education in the world. I think you need to show that you have industry experience, and that will show that you have drive to continuously want to learn.
And what about the company? What could companies potentially implement straight away?
Companies definitely need to know that things are going to be moving fast. So you need an HR team. You need hiring managers that are prepared. You need to know that the interview process is not going to be 5 or 6 interviews anymore. It is, you know, one Zoom, one Skype, and it is, we're meeting you and you are starting, you know, Monday, whatever it may be. And that's just because it's very competitive right now. And this is something candidates should be happy about. knowing that there will be a lot of opportunity for them. Offers will come in. I personally lost a great candidate yesterday just because, you know, my client had just taken too much time. And they were given an offer from another client, and they were very, you know, they said, I spoke to my wife, and we just can't risk not getting, you know, getting the offer. And we lost the candidate, and that's part of, you know, the business that we understand. But it's something that the candidate just overlooked, or the company overlooked, and they really didn't need to do that. They could have had this person working, you know, probably a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, that happened to me quite a few times. I've had to wait. I think 3 months was the longest time I've had to keep somebody warm. Yeah. And they were continually in a process. So continually in. So maybe having an interview or a call 1 week, maybe 2 weeks later, then someone went on leave, and then someone else did this and someone else did that. And it was just a very long, drawn out period. And it's lucky that, and this is where, if I say, interject and say, in terms of companies, this is where the real benefit comes from recruiters, because we are there literally speaking to your candidates that you want, that you for some reason are delaying in terms of offering, etc. We're there speaking to them about all of these personal things that are their drivers and making sure they're still on board with you. And this can be quite a tiring, long process, and it's good to come from an outside source, because we want them to be there. We want them to be hired and placed, and we want them to know that it's the right role. But equally, it's a lot of work for us. You know, we want to be able to get that, you know, that candidate in for you, and we want to be able to get that onboarding process in and ready. And that gives a candidate a really good view of, yeah, this company's really great. They've got everything in place. They know what to do. There's just nothing worse than a really long, drawn out journey. Every single thing is positive and really creative. And I'm not really sure what you can gain out of having maybe more than 4 or 5 or 6 interviews. I'm not really sure what else somebody needs to gain in the company. But maybe working out what that is beforehand, before bringing somebody into the journey. Candidates just can't hang around. They just can't hang around.
Well, because everything's online right now, and most companies that have the budget for this, you know, you need a good applicant tracking system. If the original interviewer is asking the same questions as the third interviewer, something's broken, right?
Yes.
So that's really slowing things down. And I try to tell my clients, and I'm telling them a little bit more aggressively right now, that if you need 3 or 4 people interviewing one candidate, that can be okay for many roles, but you need to line up those 3 or 4 people on the same day to interview that person.
Yep.
There's obviously going to be a balance to that. Not everybody can always be available, but there is a method to it. And I really would tell any company listening to this that you're going to lose really, really good people by not preparing to have them start the next day. If you are saying, and you are putting a job out on the market to people to apply to, you're telling them it's available. You're not saying it's going to be available. You're telling them that you wanted this person to start yesterday. And by dragging out a hiring process for 3 or 4 weeks now is ultimately hurting your business and kind of just unacceptable now. And you're going to lose a lot of good people. And you're going to start losing your own people, because they're going to see other companies and they're going to maybe get poached, you know, passively by other, you know, businesses.
Yeah.
And they're going to see how efficient, you know, other companies are and realize how inefficient you were.
I think they're great points for both candidate and company. And yay, this almost kind of brings us right to the end of our episode, Matthew. Oh,
so quick.
I know, it went super quick.
And yeah, I could talk about this forever.
I know. I love it. I really do hope we stay in touch and keep, you know, following each other on LinkedIn and continue with the journey.
Absolutely.
But so it's been absolutely wonderful. But before I sort of let Matthew go, as it were, I wanted him to give him an opportunity of where you can find him. If you really enjoyed this episode and you thought, well, I'm in Toronto, I'm a company, I'm looking, he's going to let you know what he specializes in, also what he's available for. So it could be anything to do with, you know, CV help or company. It could be just a fact-finding call, anything you want. I'm going to pass him over and he's going to just do a little plug on himself and his company and where you can find him. Over to you, Matthew.
Oh, thank you. Well, it was great being on your show, so I really appreciate, you know, everything we've done today. You can find us on any form of social media. Our website is thewallgroup.com. Everybody spells the Wall Group wrong, so it's W-O-H-L.
Yep.
So thewallgroup.com. We have all of our available jobs posted on that site. You can contact us directly if you're a candidate and have any questions. We offer free services like any type of candidate vetting for companies. We offer free resume building services for candidates. And we're really just a branch of any business that's looking for someone to navigate them through this unique world we're living in, where, like we said at the beginning of the show, onboarding is going to be so key. So getting people onboarded is what we really specialize in once we've found that perfect candidate for you. You can find us on any social media, and a lot of that will share some of the insights we've talked about today. But also, you'll be able to use us in any manner to answer questions going forward about hiring in general and any consulting services related to aerospace and any of those transferable industries, robotics, pharmaceuticals, automation. We're pretty diverse and we're unique in that aspect. And specifically across Canada, we're open to any of those markets today, tomorrow, and going forward. We're happy to work with your team.
And what about if someone came and said that they've got a role outside of Canada? Is that something that would interest you? Obviously aerospace.
Yeah, we do work internationally, so we are open to any work and anything that we're not familiar with. We use third party services to help us out. We're very, very keen on sharing work with other companies if that's what it takes to get the right candidate the right job.
Lovely. Well, I know that if I was a company looking in Canada and I had an aerospace company, I would definitely be speaking to the Wall Group and putting Matthew on my list. So definitely think about that. Think about the things you said. And if he can help you in any kind of way, or you know someone that he can help, please do get in touch. He's more than happy for you to connect with him and engage with him. But please do mention the podcast. If this is where you heard it, if this is where you met him and heard him, he's more than happy to have himself plugged by you.
sharing is the best tool we can use. Like I said, candidates have a lot of opportunities to work on things for free, and they can help their friends as well. You know, every share, every post, every like that you help a friend, a coworker out, really goes a long way. Everything's online right now, so it's really helpful for myself and anyone else just to know that we have the support of your listeners, of course, but anyone in the market looking for work.
Wonderful. Yay. Love it. Thank you so much for coming on. I really hope you have a good rest of the day. What time is it there?
Right now it's 10:45. So I've got a nice afternoon ahead of me. Sun's out. So yeah. I hope the sun comes around for you and you enjoy your weekend. And everything is starting to look positive. I know people have had a rough time over the last few months, but there is a lot of positive things going on. And I hope everyone, ends up doing well for it.
Wonderful. I'm sure they will. So enjoy your day. Have a wonderful day. I will definitely slip nicely into the weekend right now, Matthew, and hopefully enjoy a nice, relaxing, sunny, fingers crossed, weekend here in the UK. But again, been very wonderful to speak to you. And let's keep in touch. Bye.
Yeah, great. Thanks so much.
Bye. I really hoped you enjoyed listening to both myself and Matthew having a chat there regarding hiring and thinking up different ways in which you can select and encourage new candidates to your business. And also for candidates, hopefully they can maybe take a little bit more on board there about understanding what is your worth and trying to be in the driving seat in interviews, and understand that the lockdown doesn't mean desperate or dumbing down on your skills. It basically means time to really evaluate yourself and really find out what you're good at and what you're looking for. If you'd like to get in contact with Matthew with regards to hiring in Toronto in the aerospace industry, please feel free to get in touch with him. He can be found at www.thewallgroup.com, or you can connect with him on LinkedIn. I'm sure he'd be happy to have a chat. If you like what you heard, please remember to follow and share.